Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Hi, this is Bob Engelhart, and I'd like to take a couple of minutes before we start this morning's message by sharing just a little bit of my heart. We've been on the air here for really 25 years that I've been on weekly, and it's an important opportunity to bring a message. But I have to tell you that I don't know that I can remember a time in our history where there's been so much anger and so much division and so much confusion, so much digression, I guess, so much of a turning from what has been traditionally known or respected as right and wrong, and has been kind of thrown overboard, not with everyone, but enough of us, it feels like maybe half of us, are looking to remake morality. All right, so we're looking at the iPhone, whatever number you have, you know, you're lucky enough to have a 10, and well, that's really cool, but what's next? And we're moving in that direction. Technologically, we're becoming very advanced, and this past week, Mark Zuckerberg was before Congress because the internet and the information age has gotten just that important, or it's gotten almost ominous, almost dangerous, that our information is no longer really private. And so, you know, for somebody who's a little bit older like me, I get very concerned about what does our future look like. And essentially what we've done is we've thrown away the past, we've thrown away the morals of the past, and we're recreating a morality supposedly that's going to give us a happier future. And I don't see, frankly, very much increase in happiness. I don't think we're accomplishing the goal. And my point is that what we represent here on Fire Radio is really a traditional form of morality and Christianity. It's one that says that we really haven't grown. We certainly have great technology. We certainly can go places faster. We certainly can look deeper into space. We certainly understand many, many natural truths that are wonderful to know, but we haven't morally grown an inch. We have the same moral issues that we can find all the way back in the very beginning of the book of Genesis. We find the jealousies, we find, you know, the murder, we find the adultery, the covetousness, all those kind of things that are old sort of biblical sort of words. But those passions, those evil passions, control us as much as they ever have before. All of the goodness of that this society is apparently supposedly has brought us has not really created any more happiness. And I want you to know that there is a God in heaven, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. And God loves you very, very much. He does not want to be estranged from you. There's nothing that you've ever done that will hold him back from becoming your heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that crazy death on the cross and all of those kind of things were necessary, existentially necessary, for us to be reconnected with God Almighty. I really invite you to investigate the claims of Christianity. It's not ignorant. It's not for the foolish. It's not for the simple. It's not for the uneducated. It's for the thinker. It's for the one who understands there's more to our existence than simply chemical reactions. It's God at his very best. Jesus Christ is Lord, desires to save you, desires to live with you and in you and walk with you. Will you please, please think about investigating Jesus Christ in a very, very serious way? We're always here for you at Catskill Mountain Christian Center and On Fire Radio, and was burning on my heart to share with you this morning before we start our weekly message. So God bless you, and here we go.
It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are from Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." Jehoshaphat feared, right? All of these three nations anyway are waging war or planning to wage war against him, and he was afraid, and set himself to seek the Lord. That's a good idea, no? When you're afraid, to set yourself to seek the Lord. You know, I mean, that's not always our first knee-jerk reaction when fear comes upon us, that we set ourselves to seek the Lord. So when you know a good guy when the first thing he does is set himself to seek the Lord. So there's a lesson there. And proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. So now, what do you know, there's something interesting here. Because we say, you know, in our God world, we're so, quote unquote, private that I'm going to go on a fast. You know, I'm going to do. But when you have a certain amount of influence, the more you have influence, the more you grow in life, you become the head of a family, or you become the head of a company, or you become the head of a church, or you become the head of a nation, you become the head of something. When you're become more influential, you have that ability, and a lot of people in our culture in particular, maybe in particular, I don't know if it's particular or not, but nobody wants to take it to the streets. Take our faith to the streets saying, "Hey, America, it's time to fast. We're going a little bit crazy here. Has anybody noticed? You know, we're going a little nuts here. America, you're going, you know, pardon me if I'm politically incorrect, but we got problems. I'm not mad at anybody. I don't hate anybody." Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before a new court and said, "O Lord of our fathers, are you not God in heaven?" Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah. The leader stood up. The leader must stand up. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, leader must stand up. There must be a leader to stand up and bring clarity. There must be someone to bring clarity. Clarity does not come from the people. Clarity comes from leaders. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven?" The first thing he says is he gives God the ultimate glory. "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who have come and have not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. They're saying Israel showed mercy to these nations. In their day, these nations, Israel did not destroy these nations. And here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you, he said. But our eyes are upon you. It's such a profound approach to God in a moment like that, that the king would stand before all the people, reminding God of who he knows God to be, the God of heavens, the God of creation, that no one can withstand you. We know all of these things. We know that you delivered our ancestors. We know that your name dwells in this temple. We know when pestilence comes, we know it's our job to come to you. We know all of these things. We also know that there's a power that's coming to destroy us, and we don't have any power against it. Interesting, isn't it? That's a very humble but faith-filled prayer. Unfortunately, we by the time we're humble, we tend to be fearful. By the time we get to be humble, we tend to be fearful. So we don't stop and quickly pray with great faith, knowing all of these things about God. God, we know these things about you, that you have created everything, that your friend forever is named Abraham, that we are his children, you have established us, you have given this land, we were merciful to these people, and now these people are coming to destroy us and throwing us out. We gathered before your temple, your name is in this temple, this is where you dwell. We know all of these things. Now, what are you going to do about it? Is really what it comes down to. But our eyes are where? Upon the Ammonites. But our eyes are upon the Ammonites. No. Our eyes are on the other bad guys. Nope. But our eyes are on you. You see? All of this trouble has come upon us. We're being invaded from every side, but our eyes are upon you. Now all the children with their little ones, with their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, and the son of Matanaiah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. This is where the prophet sort of takes charge over the king. You got the king and the prophet, right? The prophet says, now wait a minute, hold on here. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, because the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. That's like saying Palmer Hill. That's what he was saying. They're coming over Palmer Hill. The ascent of Ziz. He was telling them which way they were coming. Sounds like Rock Band. The ascent of Ziz. I like that. Yeah. And you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That's like nice holy talk, presumptuous. Doesn't it sound presumptuous? Really, really, God is going to be with us, right? No. Do you hear him, the guy saying, no, we're going to be slaughtered like, you know. That guy's there. I don't know if you know that, but that guy's always there. I don't believe that at all. This church doesn't have any future. We were going to buy that great American building. There was, I wouldn't say the name, but there was a, we were in Dunraven, 3 miles down the road in our wonderful little former building down there. It was lovely little humble place, and we were moving on up to the deluxe apartment in the sky. We were going to buy the old Great American Building. We was going to have church. And the mayor said, go ahead, let them try. They'll never do it. You know, he's there. That guy is there. The doubter is there. The doubter is there. Thomas was there. Not just Judas, but Thomas was there. Right? He's always there. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Listen to how he responded to this word of faith. Listen how he responded to it. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord. See, the king did it first, folks. The king did it first, fathers. The king did it first, grown-ups. The king did it first. Then everybody else did it. Does it make sense? When we talk about leadership, we talk about, you know, who's the guy who's going to put himself out there? You can never expect a church movement. You cannot expect a church movement unless people are willing to put themselves out there. The inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Korathites. Isn't it wonderful? The Levites and the children of the Korathites. Now remember who Korah was. If you know your Bible, was a bad guy. Korah was a bad guy who got in so much trouble, the ground opened up and swallowed him and his whole family, and he got God so mad. His children learned a lesson from that, because from this point forward, they never were far from the Levites, the priests. They're like, does that ground look stable over there? No, we'll stay here by the Levites. Isn't that amazing? And then the Levites and the children of the Korathites and the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. With voices loud and high. You got all of these problems surrounding you on every side. They are coming to destroy you. You have no way to fight them. You have no means to withstand them. You bow down before, the king bows down before the ground, and then the Levites, the priests, and the Korathites stand up loud, what does it say? With voices loud and high. Maybe one of the biggest mistakes in 2,000 years is getting quiet. Is thinking somehow solemnity trumps euphoria, joy, shouting, praising, singing with all of our hearts. You know, somehow, and I think there's a time for quiet, there's a time for reflection, there's a time for solemnity, being contemplative, quiet, thinking, praying, all those kind of things. But man, if you can't shout your head off for Jesus, I bet you, you know, you did a scratch off on one a million. I bet you I would hear something out of you. Good, I'm assuming. Like Yahoo or something. Right? But God has given you eternal life. Brothers and sisters, you were condemned. You were born condemned. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault. You weren't bad. You weren't bad because it was your fault to be bad. You were bad because it was done to you by your ancestors, by your ancestor, in particular, Adam. So we were born with this sin nature inside of us. I mean, that's just the way that it is. We needed to be born again. God came up with a plan so that we could be saved. We could become his children through knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's worth far more than the millions. Right? So they lift up their voices loud and high. I really love that. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Huh. You know, it's not just me and Jesus. I'm going to prosper because Jesus said he was going to prosper me. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to have a good idea, and God's going to prosper me. Nope, it says, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. First thing many Christians needed, I know the first thing we needed, you know, it took us 7 years, almost 10 years to be established. Because your life is all over the place. You're not established. What is established? Family. Established. Building block. Social building block. Family. Established. You know, a sense of happiness or a sense of contentment in the family. There's an establishment in the family. Believe in the Lord your God and you'll be established. That's why it says 10 commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I love this guy. In 1934, he wrote this book, and he said that the cultures that are the most stable and advanced cultures are the ones who have the strictest sexual codes. The cultures that have a stricter sexual code have a better cultural life, have a more sophisticated cultural life, have a more advanced cultural life. So what have they done to our culture in the last 100 years? They've dismantled the family. No fault divorce is the demise of our culture because we've lost the strength of understanding what marriage really is supposed to be about. Because you can't read the Bible any other way. I'm sorry, I've tried. If I could wiggle out of this thing, man, I'd be the first one running. This is not courage talking right now. Let me tell you something. Marriage is everything. Marriage, traditional marriage is everything. The Bible builds it from the beginning. Jesus said, from the beginning it was not so. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And what God has joined together, God has joined together, not the preacher has joined together, not the community has joined together, not the two people who fell in love and decided to get married. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder, separate. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Do you think prosperity is of God? Do you really believe that God wants you all to be poor? I don't think that at all. Every time I see God in the Bible, he's enriching somebody. He's empowering somebody. What is being rich? What is being wealthy? Man, you got a great family. You're the wealthiest guy I know. You know, you got great friends. You're the wealthiest guy I know. You know, you got a few million bucks. You're pretty wealthy too. So I don't mind that. But I don't. Well, listen, it's not about whether or not you're happy. I know very, very poor people who are happy. I know very rich people who are unhappy. But I also know very rich people who are very happy. No, not because they have that, because they're really nice people and they give a lot of money away. Those are the people that I found to be the most happy, who God has established them, prospered them, given them wealth, and then they give it away. And that makes them the happiest of all. And I've known people who live in a box in New York City who are the most prideful people I've ever met in my entire life. So you look down at them and you think they must be humble and nice. That's not always the case. There's a lot of pride living in substandard housing. Listen, this day know that the Lord Jesus wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper you. If you're brokenhearted, he wants to prosper your heart. If you have no money, he wants to prosper you financially. You know, if you have other brokenness, if you have addiction, you have the chains of addiction hanging on you, God wants to prosper you. He wants to set you free. So, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And then they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against all the bad guys. I'm not going to read the rest of the stories. So read the rest of the story. So what happens is, you know, the army is ready to go out. They go out into battle against all of these, military outfits that had come against them. And the Lord said, "I'm going to send out the worship team first. We'll back you up with our swords and spears and shields. Elisha, you take your folks out there and start singing real hard. We'll be right here backing you up, though. Don't worry about it." But you know what? That is spiritual warfare. And unless you believe in a populated heavens, that the Lord inhabits the populated heavens with angels, God is never outnumbered, ever, ever, ever outnumbered. And if you can get that, then you understand why, if you believe the prophets, it's not just believing in the Lord, but believing in the prophets. The Bible says in the New Testament, don't despise prophecy. Why? Because you'll find out in your life you get so many good prophecies, you'll say, if somebody gives me another good prophecy, I'm going to hit myself on the head with a hammer. Because I'm waiting for them all to happen, and they don't happen. Right? But the truth is, those prophecies are to be believed. They're to be received. They're to be internalized. They're to be turned over in your heart. They're to give you hope. They're to trust the Lord, because the angels of God are crowding into this place right now and have been, even on the World Wide Web in heaven, they've all been tuned in to what's happening in a place like this and have plans for good and not evil. Plans for God's blessing. Plans for God's prosperity. Plans for God's future for you and your family and your future. Amen.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson. Thank you for listening to OFR today. If you would like to financially help On Fire Radio, you can give online at cmcconline.org. If you would like to learn more about Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can check us out online at our website or visit our Facebook page. You can find our Facebook page by searching Catskill Mountain Christian Center in the top blue bar. Make sure you like us and check the page for updates. We would love to have you visit us for Sunday morning worship service at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. This is Jake Johnson, and on behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, I want to thank you for listening to this edition of OFR. God bless, and we'll see you in church.